Thank you for joining us for the third Philadelphia Independent Theatre Podcast with your hosts Christopher Munden and John Rosenberg. We're joined today by Michelle Pauls, Artistic Co-Director of Be Someday Productions and co-owner of Walking Fish Theatre in Kensington with her husband Stan Helliver. I started by asking Michelle how she and Stan met.
I met him when I went to see his show. Gloria Uberdollis, that one.
What was that show?
Oh, it was a verse play that he and his partner Tad wrote. A play about Y Man who lived in New Jersey at a truck stop.
How long ago was this?
Almost 20 years ago.
So you met Stan, and how long before, Be Someday?
Mm-hmm. Well, Be Someday was already in existence, as you see in that poster, except it was called Bloody Someday then. Stan and Tad were the proprietors, and they used to do poetry performance at New Hope. So Bloody Someday was the outlet for them to produce verse poetry performance, and also publish local poets.
Oh, wow.
We were all in this band together called Edgar Allan and the Poets.
Nice.
And from the band evolved, we got more involved in the theater scene. So the poetry part kind of sort of went to the wayside because Stan moved from New Hope to Philly, and then we parted ways with Tad, and we changed the Bloody Someday to Be Someday and focused more on the theater.
When did he move to Philly? When did it move to Philly?
Yeah, I think... Oh, 97. That must have been our first one when we did the first Fringe Festival.
The first Fringe Festival.
Yeah, and we did it at the Shubin. I directed Stan's play, Cappuccino and Regret.
Nice.
And he directed my play, Robert De Niro Knows.
What was Robert De Niro Knows about?
It was about this idealistic singer-songwriter who's working as an extra in a big Hollywood movie. He meets this young girl and her mom, who's determined to make her a star, and they're on a set of a Robert De Niro movie, but they're told that they're not allowed to look them in the eye if they pass them by.
It was around 2000, I started to see The Fringe, and back then it was neat. It was mostly Old City, and it was really compact, and it was a different vibe.
It was totally different. Spontaneous things used to pop up. Remember that? And there were street parties, and regular people would mix with the artists, and it was just really cool. It was just
more guerrilla.
Yeah, it was totally more guerrilla.
It seemed like they were scheduled so you could go to a lot more.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because they were compact,
right.
So if there was a 6, 7, 8 o'clock show, you could go easily. Yeah. But things have to grow and change.
But you, usually for the Fringe, I mean, I've only been here a few years, but usually you guys rent the space out, for...
Well, last year we did our own Fringe show. Well, last year and then 4 years ago we did it. 4 years ago we did the Fractured Fairy Tales and Family Friendly show.
Yeah.
That was a Fringe show. And then last year we did Three Wishes. So we've done Fringe shows here.
Have you done one almost every year?
Well, we used to do every year, and then when we moved here, we did the first year. Oh, no. First year, we just rented it out. I remember that because we were so busy getting it ready.
Well, when did you move up here?
Maybe 7 years in September.
Was that always a dream to have a theater, or it's just something that kind of came to be?
Well, it sort of evolved. I mean, we were living in Northern Liberties, producing our guerrilla theater.
Where would you guys perform?
Well, besides the Shubin and the Walnut Street, Studio 5, the Adrian... And then we did a lot of Fringe shows and all different art galleries and stuff like that. We thought, maybe we'll open up a bed and breakfast or a restaurant. So every Monday we used to travel to different towns and look at bed and breakfasts and restaurants. And nothing really stuck. So we decided that, we should have our own place where we could do the work we want to do and take time to develop it. We identified that we want to be on Frankfurt Avenue, and we got some people to help us find a space, and we found this building through the NKCDC.
What's your approach, Michelle, with acting?
So I have to understand what I'm doing and saying. So in order to understand the thing, the piece, I kind of have to look at it little by little and then step back and look at it as a whole and then go back to it separately and distinctly, little parts, and then step back and look at it as a whole again to see how it fits. You know, some actors can memorize the lines before they even go to the rehearsal, and that's really hard for me because I have to. I'm more visual than aural, and I'm also tactile, so I have to feel it.
You work kind of as a producer, director.
Yeah.
How does that change your approach to acting?
I used to direct a lot more than I do now, because I remember back then thinking, I wish I could get someone like me as my director. And I realized, well, I can validate my opinions, my artistic opinions, my ideas while I'm working with somebody else. So, I mean, that's something I think all actors need to do. And you have to find it for yourself, and eventually, hopefully, you do. And when I'm working with other directors, I like to share my thoughts and opinions about my character. I try not to share them about the other characters, you know, because I feel like that's their purview. And even with Stan, I try to hold my tongue.
What is Stan like as a director, and what is it like being directed by your partner, husband?
He really studies the piece a lot before he gets there and has these definite ideas.
What does he study about?
He studies character a lot. And we do have a shorthand where I kind of sometimes know where he might be going with something. And one of the reasons why I wanted to take a step away this last suburban motel and work something else was that, you know, there is such a thing as getting too comfortable with somebody. So I can
do a fair amount of work outside. Working fish.
Well, I'm trying to do more because I have a lot of needs and I want to fulfill them.
I liked you in the Sam Shepard play.
Where was that?
That was at Iron Age in Norristown.
George F. Walker. How did Suburban Motel come about?
So I think what happened was our Canadian friend, Michael Curtis, mentioned these plays.
You hadn't seen them?
No. And then I was in New York and I saw that book of Suburban Motel and I just picked it up, you know? Like, oh God, we'll probably never do this, but anyway, I'd give it to Stan as a gift. And he just read them all and he said, here, you have to read these. I think they're great. They'll fit right into our space. You know, this could be Kensington.
Yeah.
And it was something that we had tried to do before, earlier, a couple of years with the Mark Borkowski plays. He's a playwright who grew up in Kensington and now he lives in New York. And all the plays that he did, that he wrote, that we did here, were based on things that happened to him while he was here or people he knew, you know. So I think going the next step with the George F. Walker plays, he's quirky. He's a little, I mean, they're kind of urban, but they're a little, you know, they're Canadian. They're a little weird.
Like them, they're not self-serious.
Right.
They're plotted.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And yet he does have moments of, like, real personality. And I like that. I like being able to return to it. I like that you're doing the whole series. And
yeah. So we're going to do the last two next June 2014. I'm going to direct one, and Stan's going to direct the other, and I'll be in that one.
Cool.
So one of them's a raucous comedy, laugh out loud comedy, with Denise and RJ back again, and Denise's mother. And then the other one, Donnie and Max come back, the cops. And that one's not so much of a comedy.
Is it going to be the same actors? Or?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, I'm pretty sure we get Brian and Steven back.
What do you guys look for in actors?
It's a really, really, no matter how brilliant they are, you know, it's so important that they get along with everyone else. Sure. And they don't try to rock the boat, and, you know, they don't try to demand things. More money or whatever, special star treatment, especially if you get started. And we're kind of in an outpost here, so they have to have somewhat of a frontier spirit as well.
What have been some challenges and positives about coming out to Kensington?
Well, some positives are we got to create the need for a theater here. When we first opened here, we threw all of these things out there just because we knew that we had to attract the people in different ways. Like we had stand-up comedy once a month, and we always had burlesque, and then we had yoga for a while, and then we had open mic for a while, And we had the family theater series once a month. So, you know, it's important to get families and kids into the theater because they're the next generation.
I think what's so incredible about what you guys do is, I don't know, it seems like so much of the positive spirit of The Walking Fish is your work with kids. I mean, how did that kind of come about?
I feel like, I felt like when we were here and I saw that high school over there and I thought, oh my God, you know, there's this captive audience. I bet they don't have any theater. I was right. No even reference to what live performance is. And those kids must have lots of stories to tell. Is there a way to, to me it's, I don't know, it's part of my wanting to give back, but also change the world. And I feel like theater is the best way to do that. You can change the world because you can change people. And I feel like we have changed people. I mean, sometimes some of those kids come out of that whole program and they're like, wow, this is so mind-blowing. I thought it was so corny when you started and you said, I'm had to do this. It's so stupid, but, you know, and they sit here and they talk about how they know each other now and they can walk in their shoes and, you know, understand each other and, I don't know, that's what it's about, you know?
Is it because the space you're like, this is an opportunity to, like, do something?
Well, I think it's a combination of, being here and being entrenched in a community and, you know, realizing that we can't just be here and throw out our theater to people and expect them to come. I don't know, the way I grew up, it's just really important to help people.
Do you want your kid to go to theater?
I want her to do whatever she wants to do.
Does she enjoy living above a theater, or it's like...
not really. Well, she said, next time we buy a house, can it not have a theater in it?
As something as a theater goer, I liked about independent theater and about small productions. I wonder if it's a case where there's something that you like about that, or whether, you know, ideally you would be the people's light.
When we first opened, I thought, wow, this is our dream. Our goal is to be more like the Arden or something like that. But there is something to be said about having so much creative autonomy here that, you know, we're small enough where we can take different kinds of chances artistically. And at the same time, I think both of us like to do a whole lot of different things rather than, like, focus on one main thing. Okay, we're going to do three really great comedies or three really great tragedies, you know, but we like to do all these different things. Like, we like to do George F. Walker, and we like to do literary adaptations, and we like to do burlesque, and I like to do interactive family theater. And more we're trying to do things to find the correct partners to do them with, too. I don't know, I feel like we have a lot of flexibility to do some of these things that are more risky.
And what's coming next to Walking Fish?
Yeah, what's coming next in May is Blood Kegger Party at Monster Beach, a new burlesque show.
When's that?
May 11th to the 24th.
Excellent.
We're going to reprise the roles of Countess Paulina, the mad scientist, that's me, and my hunchback assistant Clurb will be Gina Martino.
We asked this for the other people that we talked to, but do you have like a monologue, or do you have like a sacred piece or something? Because I think we're asking what they do before they go on.
I think it's different for each piece. Yeah. So, for instance, before Moby Dick, we would all get there. I would get there early, not everybody did, and just like sing songs, sing sea shanties.
Like what? Do you want to sing a sea shanty?
We would, yeah, from the show. Let me think of a song here. It's a damn tough life full of toil and strife we whaler men undergo. And we don't give a damn when the gale did blow, how hard the winds did blow. 'Cause we're homeward bound through the Arctic ground with a good ship taut and free. Yay! And we don't give a damn when we drink our rum with the girls of old Maui. Rolling down to old Maui, we boys rolling down to old Maui. We're homeward bound from the Arctic round, rolling down to old Maui.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yay!
Inviting us into your
home. I'm so tired of working.
Come back anytime.
This was the Philadelphia Independent Theatre Talk podcast from Findy.com.